ladies. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. For just a few minutes this morning, we want to consider the big picture of Christmas, which I would suggest to you this morning is peace with God. I don't always do this, but I am doing it this morning. If you don't have a copy of God's Word that you brought with you, I would invite you to use one of our pew Bibles, just like this one, so that you can see exactly what I will be reading and referencing in just a moment. And you'll find Luke chapter 1, verse 1 on page 1176. Page 1176 in this New King James Version of the Bible. The big picture of Christmas. Peace with God. In Luke's gospel, we have Luke's very detailed, very thorough, very intentional account of the life of Jesus. Many of you probably know, but some of you may not. Dr. Luke is the author of two books in our New Testament, both Luke and the book of Acts. And some would tell us those simply go together. Luke Acts is Luke's work that he contributed to God's Word. You can see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 2 that Luke interviewed eyewitnesses as to what took place in the life of the Lord Jesus. And verse 3 tells us that it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account. So he has been very intentional. He's been very meticulous, very thorough, to present this account to a man by the name of Theophilus. For this reason, verse 4 tells us, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So that you may know that this book is absolutely true. It is God's word, and it cannot err in any way. And so join me beginning to read in verse 5, first of all, thinking about John the messenger. John the messenger. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So you have this husband and wife. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. By the way, this is the first time, but not the last time, when you're going to see in Luke's gospel this morning an angel appearing and talking to a human. And in every account, when an angel in God's word speaks to a human, the human is deathly afraid. And so if you have a friend, a family member who tells you of their experience with an angel, and it happened as if it was normal and they just carried on a casual conversation, you may want to doubt that experience, because that's not the way things happened on the pages of Scripture. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This will be John, the messenger, the one who came before the Lord to announce the coming of the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, verse 18, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, but for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So the story of Christmas begins with John the messenger. But beginning in verse 26 of chapter 1, here is a second part of the Christmas story, and I would say to you that it is the most important part of the Christmas story, and that is that we see God the Messiah. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, so now this is the second time. Remember, angels, Gabriel spoke to Zacharias, and now the angel Gabriel is going to speak again. He was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, you probably have heard this, and in no way do I want to insult your intelligence, but just to make sure that we all remember, more than likely this was an arranged marriage. This was an arranged marriage between Joseph's family and Mary's family. Joseph's family probably paid something of value in order to have Mary married to Joseph. Another fact that we feel is most certainly true is that Mary was probably between 12 and 14 years of age. Something very uncommon, very unusual for our culture, but the norm for this culture. And now as I read that, and the older I get, having daughters of this age, this certainly means more to me. But make no mistake about it, Mary, during this betrothal period, what we might think is a type of engagement, although the betrothal period, Mary and Joseph were considered married, legally they were considered married, but there was no infidelity here. There was no unfaithfulness here. There was no immorality here. There was not even any sexuality here. This was a miracle from God's hand. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered that manner of greeting, what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." There again, don't be afraid. because humans were normally afraid of angelic beings. Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Again, nothing immoral, nothing sexual, but completely mysterious. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And then Mary said to the angels, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, John. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Look at verse 37. I want everybody to look at that verse this morning. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, maybe God brought you here to hear Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what your health is like. I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know how your relationships are, even your marriage or with your children. But for with God, nothing. Let me say it again. Nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment from those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, you're probably familiar with this portion of Luke chapter 1, often called Mary's song, or the Magnificat. Notice how it begins. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Will you make note of verse 47 there? It's significant that Mary says about herself that she is in need of a Savior. And someone who is in need of a Savior, brothers and sisters, is not worthy of our worship. And not worthy of our prayers. And so this is an instance where we differ from our Catholic friends who want to worship Mary and pray to Mary. In one regard, certainly Mary was very different. But in another regard, she was no different than you. No different than me in the fact that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, by her own admission. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from the thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother had answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." And so they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And so they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all those sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying this about his own son, John the messenger: "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and as he spoke by the mouth of all his holy servants who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Notice that word, peace. We'll come back to it in just a moment. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. By the way, he probably also went to Bethlehem because he owned property in Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, this is really all that we have as it relates to the birth of Christ. Just really one verse. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Laid him in a watering trough. Laid him in a nasty, algae-covered, germs of animals watering trough. "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." Isn't that amazing? The humans are always afraid of the angels. And yet today we want to write books and show movies about such. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Notice that word peace now for the second time. "And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There's a third character that I want you to see this morning in our text. And it's Simeon. Simeon the man. John the messenger, God the Messiah, and Simeon the man. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or God the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Notice that word again for the third time. Peace. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What is the big picture of Christmas? I would suggest to you this morning that it is peace with God. Would you go back with me for just a moment and look at three instances in our text this morning from Luke 1:1 to Luke 2:35, in the Christmas story, there are three instances when Dr. Luke uses this word, peace. P-E-A-C-E, peace. He does it, first of all, in Luke chapter 1, verse 79. And I would say to you this morning that John announced the opportunity to be at peace with God. John the Baptist, John the messenger, the cousin of the Lord Jesus, his whole function in life, his whole purpose in living, the goal of his ministry was to announce the coming of the Lord. To announce, to herald, to proclaim the opportunity to be at peace with God. Would you notice this second use of this word peace? It's in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. John announced the opportunity to be at peace with God. In verse 14, talking about Jesus, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. John announced the opportunity to be at peace with God. Jesus accomplished the opportunity to be at peace with God. Jesus Christ who would grow up, as Brother Chris mentioned a moment ago, to be the man who died on the cross. Fully God and fully man. Why did that have to happen? Because, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, left up into ourselves, we are not at peace with God because we're sinners. God cannot have fellowship with sin. And unfortunately, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. We are sinners. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners because of the sinful choices that we make. And therefore, God will not have fellowship with sin or sinners apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ, living a perfect, sinless life, accomplished the opportunity to be at peace with God for anyone who would believe. Verse 14 says, goodwill toward men, toward all men and all women. And then that third use of that word peace by Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. John announced the opportunity to be at peace with God. Jesus accomplished the opportunity to be at peace with God. And Simeon accepted the opportunity to be at peace with God. The Lord told him that he would not leave the face of the earth until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Until he had accepted the Messiah into his life as Savior and Lord. There's one more use of the word peace that I want to share this morning with you before I finish. And it's a way that the Apostle Paul uses it. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul used the word peace, this same word peace that we find three times there in Luke 1:1 through Luke 2:35 here in Romans 5:1. Listen to what he says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith. Justified means to be made right, to be declared innocent. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that because we are sinners, the accuser, the devil, wants to remind us at every turn how awful we are. Well, you've sinned against him and you've sinned against her. And you've sinned with your mouth and you've sinned with your mind. And you've sinned with your hands and you've sinned with your feet. And yes, all of that is true. Guilty as charged. Except for when an individual puts his or her faith in Christ, the guilty is declared innocent. The guilty, me, you, us, the guilty is declared innocent. The guilty is justified. Now, don't miss the rest of that verse. Notice that it doesn't say that we're justified because we're a member of a certain church. It doesn't say that we're justified because we've been baptized. It doesn't say we've been justified because of who our family is, because of who your grandparents were, your mom and dad. No, it says we have been justified through our faith in Christ. And when we are justified through our faith in Christ, watch this. We have peace with God. The Savior bridges the gap between a holy God and a sinful humanity. And we can talk all day long about, are you okay with the man upstairs? And we can write on Facebook and social media and read for the world to see, rest in peace. But make no mistake about it. Peace with God does not happen apart from faith in Christ. And so I don't know if you are at peace with God this morning, ma'am or sir, but I want to invite you to be. I want to invite you to be at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. In just a moment after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand and sing with me as Brother Chris will come to lead us, and I'll be here standing at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here standing at the front. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond publicly to this invitation to be at peace with God. And make no mistake about it. I love to receive presents at Christmas. And I love to see others and the joy that they receive from receiving presents. I love a decorated auditorium. I love seeing so many of you, and particularly extended family that I may not get to see at other times of the year. I love being with my family. But the big picture of Christmas is peace with God. And if you're not at peace with God this morning, I want to invite you to do so by admitting that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior, believing that that Savior is Jesus Christ, as we celebrate His birth, calling on Him to save you. I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And if today you would respond to this invitation publicly, I would just simply invite you to step out of one of these aisles, make your way here to the front. We'd love to counsel with you, pray with you, celebrate with you, share with you the joyous occasion of anyone, man or woman, boy or girl, young or old, being at peace with God. Let's pray together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I would invite you right now, in the quietness of where you are sitting, simply answer that question. Are you at peace with God? Am I at peace with God? And if your answer is yes, then if you will simply ask yourself why. And that's the key. If you answer why in any other way than Jesus is my Lord and is my Savior, then I would say to you this morning, I'm sorry, but you're not at peace with God. If you answer that question in any other way, Today, I would invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ. And again, after I finish praying, we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And I would invite you this morning to respond publicly to the invitation to know Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and to be at peace with God in heaven. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you that on this particular Sunday, perhaps more so than others, we celebrate the birth of the Christ, the one who came and who accomplished the opportunity for us to be at peace with God. And so, Lord, my prayer this morning is that there will be those here within the sound of my voice who are not at peace with God, who would today accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord for the very first time. And Lord, not only do I pray that you'd give them faith to believe, but I pray also you'd give them courage and boldness to respond publicly to your calling of salvation. Father, if there are those here this morning who feel led of the Spirit to unite with Emory Baptist Church, give them courage and boldness today to let that decision be made known public. If there are others here this morning who simply need to come and pray or to pray with one of our staff, I pray that you'd give them courage and boldness as well. Father, we love you. We know that you first loved us, as evidenced by your Son Jesus coming to this earth. We ask and pray all this in his name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, I'm here at the front. Brother Ronnie's here at the front. Today, if you're not at peace with God, would you accept Christ this morning for the very first time and receive peace with God?